to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
If you have missed a week, please go on to our Facebook page, watch the services, because these stories of realizing that we all have life, and we all have to struggle through life, and we all have different times where we're on the good part of life and the bad part of life, and the hard thing about growing up and living in today, especially for you young people, growing up in today is you see people's social media feeds, and we think that's life. It's hard. Social media can be just distracting. You can get easily discouraged, thinking, why isn't my life like this? Why can't I wear that? Why can't my hair ever look that cute? I mean, I don't really struggle with that, but... why didn't I get invited to that thing? And we can think, is my life must be worse than everybody else's. And so we put on this face, like we have to make everything feel like we're okay. And we put on this front and this facade. Instead of just being willing to admit and say, you know what, I'm struggling today. I'm having a hard day. I'm having a hard week. I'm having a hard month. My last 3 years have been tough. And instead of admitting it, we just put this front like, hey, how are you, man? God bless. Praise Jesus. How are you doing? I'm doing good, man. I'm doing really good. But are you? You know, what if we really, after looking at this series, I'd want one person to say, you know what? After she watched one of the videos, and she said, so you guys are just a group of ordinary people, new to the church. Doesn't have a relationship with God really at all. She watched one of the videos. She goes, so you guys are just like regular people. But you know what? The thing is, for somebody to say that, what does it mean that we come across? Because we don't just make up words. People don't just say that because they don't realize it. They say it because that's what they see. But imagine if we were a community of believers that lived real life, showed that, you know what, I'm struggling too. We're willing to admit and be vulnerable with each other. Didn't judge, but came alongside and said, hey, let's walk this life together. Can you imagine the impact that would have on our community? You know, I have a son. We're watching this movie. What were we watching? And they said the word, was it TV show? I don't even know what we were watching. So they said something about making out, and Judah started giggling. He's 10. And I said, Judah, do you know what that means? He goes, yeah. I said, what does it mean? He was too embarrassed to tell me. Because, you know, we get into that place where we feel like we might be judged or shamed or guilted for knowing or for saying something, because we know things. So later on that night, I shut my door, and I said, Judah, you're not in trouble. I said, Judah, I want you and I to have an open relationship to where you can share no matter what you're struggling with. I am going to love you. Nothing will ever make me stop loving you. So he said, oh, well, I learned it from that movie RV where it's whatever. Well, I didn't care. I really didn't care. I just wanted to know, like, you know, it was one of your older punk friends that go to, like, Christian school or something. Just kidding. But here's the thing. If we can't live real in front of our kids, and if we can't live real in front of each other, we can't live real in front of God. If you can live real in front of your kids, and you can live real in front of your friends, then you know what? You will be real in front of God, and the God will be real to you, and God will change your life more than you will ever have your life changed. That's a promise. That's a promise. So we're going through the series Recalculating. And, you know, there are times in life, do you ever feel like everything's your fault? Do you ever just feel like everything is your fault? Like you picked the wrong restaurant to go to. Nobody likes it. You're like, dang it, I knew I shouldn't have picked that. Or maybe you get there and the line is like 45 minutes long. And everybody's like, well, if you would have picked my place, it wouldn't have been that bad. And now you feel like, okay, now that's my fault. Or maybe you go the wrong way. Have you ever chosen to go the wrong way? You're like, no, we're supposed to turn left. But GPS is telling us to right. Yeah, no, we're supposed to turn left. You turn left and it's like, yeah, I was wrong, it's my fault. Or you put in the address, but you put one wrong number in, all of a sudden you have no idea where you are. And you just feel like everything is your fault. And you know, sometimes when you look at life, sometimes it is your fault. That's the reality. But how many times do we take credit for things that are not our fault, and we do not take credit for things that are our fault? You know what? This week's video is about a really good friend of mine named Zach. Why don't you guys go ahead and watch?
I never thought I would try to take my own life. My name is Zach. I'm 26 years old. Growing up was a pretty normal childhood. My parents, though, ended up divorcing when I was 13. Just kind of from there, the next couple of years, I started having issues. I was just really depressed all the time, kind of felt like the problems with my parents were my fault. It just kind of affected me throughout life, kind of those early years after the divorce. Going up into high school, everything was kind of normal until I hit my sophomore year. I turned 16 and I dropped out of school. At that time, I was smoking pot all the time, kind of hanging out with different people and everything like that. We ended up drinking all the time, partying, and just kind of just doing things I probably shouldn't have been doing. When I was 17, my sister kept inviting me to go to church. And particularly like to go to the high school group so I can meet other people to try to get me away from going out all the time and smoking all the time. That was probably the first time after my parents divorced that I felt some sort of hope. Like this is the first time I felt like there was something beyond my depression, something that would kind of help me get through everything. And almost 18 is when I became a Christian. I really kind of just focused on my walk at that point. But shortly after turning 18, I quit going to church. And from there, I just kind of got back into the same thing, just kind of filling that emptiness, filling that lack of hope with either drugs or alcohol or sex. Just a lot of different things to try to get me through all of that. When I was 20, 21, my dad was diagnosed with cancer for the first time. When we got the news, it was hard time. I just remembered I was angry, and the depression came back. Luckily, with that, my dad was able to get surgery and do radiation and chemo for his lung cancer, and we're good, we thought. So about a year later is when my dad started getting sick again, and we found out he had intestine cancer, and we had to do radiation for that and another surgery to remove part of his intestine. From there, things went great for about another 8 months, and my dad had colon cancer. I came home from work, and my dad told me he had about a month to live. My dad passed away about a month later in hospice, and just kind of reverted back to everything I was doing in high school. I was just drinking all the time, taking pills, just kind of trying to cope with everything. During that time, I was in a relationship in 2015, October, that relationship ended, and just everything kind of felt like it was falling apart around me. I didn't feel like I was going anywhere with a career. I didn't feel like I was where I wanted to be in life at 22. And one night I tried to kill myself. I took one of my dad's revolvers and I put a round in it and I started to just get angry with myself, angry at God, angry at everyone. And I pulled the trigger and nothing happened. For a split second, there was relief that it didn't go off, but it turned right back into anger and I pulled the trigger again. And then another time. I just remember I felt hopeless again. I felt like nothing was ever going to change. I felt like I was never going to just amount to anything. I felt like a failure. I felt like if I would have done things differently, my dad wouldn't have died. I felt like if I would have done things differently, I would have been further along in my career, I would have been further along in life, I would have been married by that point, or kids by that point, or just something different. I just felt like in a really, like, just felt really behind and in a really dark spot. After the night, I tried to commit suicide. I ended up going to City View. Jeremiah was my high school pastor, and just someone that kind of was always there for me in hard times, and I constantly saw him posting on Facebook about it, and so I thought, I want to go see what church is like again, and my plan was to commit suicide Sunday night, and I remember going to City View. I was expecting to, like, not see anybody I knew, no one would know who I was, and I would just be able to, like, slip in and out. And before I even got in the theater, three or four people knew who I was. And as I walked in the theater, I just kind of broke down. Like, I felt something. I didn't know what it was at the time. I was very just bad spot. And I just remember going into City View for the first time, just kind of feeling like there was something to kind of keep going forward for some reason, and just kind of kept going after that. And then slowly a couple months later, I wouldn't say the depression ever, like, really went away, but it just kind of got easier to go through life. And as I kept searching for answers and searching for hope, things started to go smoother, and I just felt like the more I just grew my relationship with Jesus, like, it felt better. The depression, the thoughts never necessarily went away, but it's things now that I know are lies. The depression is something I can now kind of get through when those days or those weeks or those months kind of come. Those are things I can work through now. Every dark time, every time I went through, like, hard depression, kind of came to mind, it was because every time I was in a really bad spot, I went towards either drugs or alcohol, relationships or sex to kind of fill me up and kind of get me through those things, and it never worked. And I really felt God pulling at me, saying that I don't need to go to those things, I needed to go to Him, and that if I just went to Him, He would fill me up. And just felt like that worked. I felt like there's now, like, hope in my life. I feel like there's joy in my life. There's still hard times, but I can just kind of hold on to that peace and that comfort through all of it. I never thought I'd be able to get through depression, but Jesus gave me hope in that.
Lord, I thank you so much that you never give up on us, that you relentlessly pursue us. Lord, I ask that you'd speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. It's amazing the things that we can think are our fault, isn't it? I mean, he thought it was his fault that his dad died of cancer. It's irrational thinking. But it's amazing where our brains will go and the things that we will start making our fault. It's amazing the burdens we carry, the guilt we hold on to, and the darkness that it so quickly puts us in. And when we carry so much guilt, it blinds us from the reality of what is. You know, because early on, God had shown Zach something. And you know, it's crazy. A few years ago, I found a letter that Zach wrote me. And I don't keep every single thing a youth kid writes me. I might keep them. I don't know. But I found his a few years ago. I'm going to read it to you guys. He wrote me sometime in 2009. It was a long time ago. Dear Pastor Jeremiah, I'm writing this to thank you for everything you've done. Your words of wisdom have helped me see and establish a relationship with Jesus. The days I go to church and listen to your services are the days I am most at peace. The way you explain your teachings and lessons from the Bible help me grasp and understand what you mean. I have never felt more secure and at ease than any other place. Without your words, teaching, and advice, I fear I may still be lost. But God has pulled me to you and our great church. I am officially, as of August 26, 2009, a new believer. Before that date, you made it easier to understand what it means to truly be faithful. Now I am looking forward, as a new believer, to listen to your services so I may grasp and comprehend it all in a deeper level. Thanks so much. Thank you. Those who have prayed for me, our church, and our Lord, I have been saved. Thank you. God bless. Zachary Vogel. And then soon after that, life pulled him away again. That's one of the hardest things as a youth pastor. And it's one of the hardest things as a pastor to watch happen. When we easily get pulled, because we easily start believing lies. And we easily start, like he did, start blaming faults. If you turn with me to John chapter 9, verse 1, a very similar story of blaming faults happened. John chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus and his disciples, they're walking along and they're walking into the city. And it says, and as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Sorry. He saw a man who had been blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God may be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who has sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then Jesus spit on the ground and made mud with saliva and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. And he told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the one who used to sit and beg? And some said he was, and others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the same one. They asked, who heals you? What happened? He told them, the man who they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Where is he now? They asked, and he said, I do not know. Verse 13. Then they took the man who had been born blind to the Pharisees, because it was the Sabbath that Jesus had made mud and healed him, because that was against the rules to do any kind of work on the Sabbath. So we're so quick to judge a work instead of quick to judge the amazing thing that God did. That's the situation. So the Pharisees asked the man all about it, and so he told them, "He put mud on my eyes, and when I washed it, I could see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man Jesus is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath." Others said, "But how can an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs?" So there was a deep division of opinion among them. And then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been born blind, "What's your opinion about the man who healed you?" And the man replied, "I think he must be a prophet." The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been born blind and could now see. So they called his parents and they asked, "Is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he now see?" And his parents replied, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. He is of old age. He is old enough to speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who would announce that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, "He is old enough, ask him." So for the second time, they called in the man who had been born blind and told him, "God should get the glory for this, because we know this man Jesus is a sinner." And this is what the man said, "I do not know whether he is a sinner," the man replied, "but I know this, I was blind and now I see." Many times in the Bible, when we see a place where it's talking about blindness, there's usually two problems happening. There's a physical blindness, and then there's a spiritual blindness that's going on. This man knew he was physically blind, but he had no idea that he was spiritually blind. He had no idea that he did not know who Jesus was. And there are many of us today that we are walking these lives, we're doing what we should and what we think we should do, but the thing is, the reality is that we are spiritually blind. We are walking this life having no clue that we need a Savior. We can't see our need of a Savior. We can't see our need of forgiveness. And we cannot see our need of Jesus. And we are blind, yet we think because we can see with our physical eyes, we don't realize that we are blind in our spiritual hearts. And we walk each and every day thinking we're fine, when in reality we're blind. And so the disciples, when they first see this man, their first question is not a question of care. It's not a question of, "I wonder if he's okay. I wonder if we can help him." Their first question is of judgment and blame. Whose fault is it that he is blind? Is it his or his parents? Because this is a common thought back then. It was a common thought, if something were to happen to a young man or something like this at a young age, then somebody sinned for this to happen. How many times have we ever thought, bad things are happening because you're not right? Something's not right in your life. You did something for this to happen to you. Have you ever done that before? You probably have. Maybe it's been done to you, where somebody has judged you and you're like, "Hey, you're not praying enough. You're not reading your Bible enough. You shouldn't have bought that. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't da 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 da." We come up with all these reasons why bad things happen. And so that's what the disciples, their first thing was to judge. "You did something, kid, in your mother's womb. He was born blind. You did something to your mom while you were inside. If you didn't, then your mom did something while she was pregnant with you, and that's why you were born blind." And so they go to Jesus with this false idea of wanting to blame fault. Jesus, whose fault is it? You see, they were so quick to say, "Who sinned?" That they were not about being the caring, loving servants that Jesus had raised them to be. They were so quick to point a finger instead of offering a hand of love. So quick. We tend to think it's much easier to cope with life if we know the why. You see, the disciples wanted to know the why. Why was he born blind? Because don't we think it's easier if we know the why? If we know the why of why something happened and what's going on and why this, why that, why me, why this, if we know the why, we think, okay, I can get through it. So the disciples wanted to know the why. But many times we may never know the why. But Jesus tells us the why this time. Verse 3, Jesus says, it's not because of his sin or his parents. This happened so the power of God may be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the task that is before me. You see, Jesus refused to accept the disciples' alternative. He refused to go, you know what? Yes, it's somebody's fault. He refused to even go down that path. He refused to even entertain that it was somebody's fault. He was not about to do that. He totally shifts the discussion from blame to grace. He goes, it is not about whose fault it is. It's about the grace that God is about to show right now. That's what it's about. Jesus was going to use this man's tragedy to reveal God's great works. You see, I think Jesus is always looking to use the tragedies of our life to show how great he is. Always. Our world is broken. It is broken. We live in a broken world. Bad things happen. God hates it. How do I know? Because God says, I hate evil. But in Genesis 3, sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, it contaminated everything. Everything. And it spread to all mankind. And the only way for it to be fixed was for Jesus to fix it. It's the only way. You know, I wonder how many times that little boy went to his mom and said, Mommy, why did God make me blind? Kids ask hard questions, and you know that kid asked that question. Mommy, why did God make me blind? Mommy, why did God let this happen? Mommy, why did God let why did this happen to us? Why did Daddy die? Why did so-and-so leave? Why did this have to happen? And you know the mom went back to God. God, why did this happen? What did I do to deserve this? They had no idea that in this moment, that on this great day, that God was about to give this young man sight. No idea. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, we must. Do we have an urgency to do what God is calling us to do? What captured Zach? Was it the music? Was it my amazing speaking? I mean, he did say I was a good speaker. But what was it? The moment he stepped foot on this campus, he was loved. That's what saved his life. God loving through you to him. So when we say we need people to be on our usher team, do you know who said hi to him? Usher team people. When we say we need people on our hello team, do you know who said hi to him? People on our hello team. So you say, what kind of job is that? It saved a young man's life. That's the kind of job it is. So some of us, we sit here, we come Sunday mornings, and you're sitting in your chair going, I don't need to do anything. But what if your one hello could save one life? What if you knew every day, I must love people? Jesus went to his disciples and he says, guys, we must act quickly because the darkness is coming. You guys saw the darkness come this week in Florida. That's just straight evil. Our world is getting more and more evil, but darkness does not overcome light. Light overcomes darkness. So what did Jesus do? Jesus breaks into this young man's life. He spits in dirt. He does not do the ordinary. Jesus never does the ordinary in lives. I think I have like 3 points. I don't know where I am in my message. I'm not even going to worry about it right now. Jesus breaks into this young man's life. Spits in the dirt. He breaks the rules, all the laws, the ways that we as Christians, we say, this is how God works. God does this way. Jesus says, I never work according to how you want me to work. You say you don't work on the Sabbath, I'm going to make mud. I'm going to make putty right now, and I'm going to spit in the dirt, and I'm going to use it. I'm going to use my finger and act like a trowel. Watch me break your dumb law, because this man's life is more than any rule you could ever make. So he makes that mud. And can you imagine this man? Because you know how people can sort of treat beggars. Have you ever been to a third world country where how people treat beggars? They kick them. They push them. They ignore them. They purposefully abuse them. They do not love them. So can you imagine the first time that Jesus touches this man with mud? Because you know our Savior was gentle. So all of a sudden somebody's touching him with love and wipes mud on his eyes for the first time. And Jesus says, hey, young man, go wash yourself. And he comes back seeing. He comes back seeing. And then there's this whole discussion. People are like, who healed you? And he's like, I don't know, this guy Jesus. And then what's amazing is, so this guy gets questioned by these Pharisees, and they're mad. They hate Jesus. They hate Jesus because Jesus is uprooting their thought of what a real Jew, what a real Christian is supposed to be like, these rules and following all these laws, and I'm supposed to be this way. And there, Jesus is totally disrupting that. And so they say, hey, you're no longer allowed to worship God in our sanctuary. Kick him out of church. But guess what happens? I don't know where I am. Where am I? I love it. Verse 35, when Jesus heard what happened, he found him. He found him. Jesus will never leave you alone. Zach, would you please, wherever you are, come up and join me? There you are. I've been looking for you this whole service, and you're in the middle. Would you just please welcome Zach up? Hey, thanks, dude. Yeah. Love you.
Love you.
So, what kind of girl are you looking for? Just kidding.
Not here.
Just kidding. So, Zach, you know, everybody knows the question I'm going to ask. I wanted to throw that out there. So, Zach, what would you say to encourage somebody?
There's just a couple of things. And the first one is, one of the reasons I never really talked about depression was I always felt like I was alone. Like I was the only one going through it, the only one blaming myself, and the only one with those thoughts. The first thing I would say is you're not alone, and you don't have to go through it alone. One of the things that really got me through it was community, having guys around me, a Tuesday group of men that helped me talk about it. And it was like the first time I've openly talked about it with anyone. So the second I kind of started talking about it, it helped me.
Now, you also went and got help as well, too, right?
Yeah. So one of the things is I got therapy for a while. Which is good. I mean, it helped me really kind of think through everything. So, and the second thing is, like, in the depression, the thoughts, like, it came, like, I felt like I wasn't loved. I felt like I was alone. I was worthless. And it's just none of that is true. And just kind of a reminder, if you're going through it, is no matter how you feel, you're loved. And so that's something I always fought. And the last thing would be just the more you talk about it, the less power you give it. Ephesians 5:13 says, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. And that was something that stuck out. And with talking with the men's group or talking in therapy or family or friends, the more I talked about it, the easier the depression came, the easier the thoughts, like it became easier to overcome those things because of talking about it. It became easier to get through those things because of talking about it, whether it was therapy, friends, you, Tony, anyone. So.
Hey, you guys want to know something? This is a young man that somebody paid for to go to summer camp when he was in high school. So when we say, hey, help us send a kid to camp, you never know who you're sending to camp. You never know who God's going to have go through hell, but because roots were put down. Zach, thank you so much for sharing. So like Zach said, if you, depression's real, hard times are real, get help. Find a community. We talk about city groups every week. Every week. And we're going to do it for till the day we die. Till the day we die. Get plugged in. Get plugged in. It's a safe place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, God, that you found us. Praise you for that. Thank you for that. God, you are awesome. You are mighty. You are so worthy to be praised. God, you are better than anything we could ever imagine or think. You love bigger than we can ever imagine or think. Lord, we would be lost without you. We can be lost in you. God, I pray that today, as we go, Lord, that we realize we must love people like you. That we must. Maybe we have an urgency. And for those of us in here today, maybe we walked in here blind, and Lord, I pray right now, if that's you, if you're in here going, you know what, I need to give my life to God. If that's you right now, I don't need to tell you what to do. You just say, God, I'm giving my life to you right now. Because Jesus never said there's any special prayer, any special magic words. Jesus said, just surrender to me. Believe that I died for you on a cross. Believe that I can give you new life. If that's you this morning, just say, God, help. God, save me. God, I believe in you. And if you prayed with us this morning, hopefully you got a connect card. Please fill it out. Turn it into our box. Turn it into somebody that's an usher. Danny is over here. Give it to us so I can contact you this week. God, I thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.